Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to The Poisoner's Cabinet. I'm Sinead.
And I'm Nick.
And this is your weekly podcast exploring the lives of the great poisoners, macabre murders and captivating crimes from across the centuries, and creating curious cocktails inspired by the Dulcibe Del. And it's episode 187.
Are you sure? I think it is.
I think it is. Sorry. Okay, we have started to record this about 9 million times.
It's not been going well so far.
No, we just... And there was nothing really wrong with the first two takes we did. But just, both of us just went, no, do it again.
Do it again.
And then we got annoyed at each other. Then we're like, I thought that was wonderful. That was gold. Nah, shit.
This is my best work. Cancelled it.
Cancelled it. You're cancelled, Nick. This is how it works. But other than being cancelled, are you?
I'm all right.
You're all right.
Suppose.
Weary from doing this intro.
I've been doing it again and again and again. But we're here now, and it seems to be okay, so don't jinx it.
Okay,
be funny.
Be nice. Any poisonings this week?
Oh, yeah, I don't think so.
You don't probably. Think so?
No, I'm sitting that sort of New Year, sort of January. Yes, be nice.
Fresh start.
Fresh start of not poisoning people.
Yes, start as you mean to go on.
Start as I mean to go on, exactly, yes. Yes, a fresh outlook for a jolly time for 2024.
Yes.
Let's see how long it lasts.
It's quite nice, actually, because I do notice you're in a good mood, and sometimes I'm like... What's going on?
Yeah.
And when will it implode?
When will it go horribly, horribly wrong? So keep tuned. You'll find out soon.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Exactly.
I do like the way we're rattling through stuff.
Just crack on.
As a couple of people on YouTube have suggested, YouTube subscribers who listen to us on here, we love you. And we're very, very grateful. We have a lot of subscribers on YouTube and we are growing the channel. But you guys know, anyone who's been on YouTube, lots of nice comments and then people are feral.
It can be a vicious place.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put it out there now. There's a lot of chat.
If
it's the first time listening to us,
yeah,
and you don't like a lot of chat, then this is probably not for you.
You can skip ahead. There's chat, there's drinking, and then there's a very well-researched, beautifully written story.
Delightfully crafted.
You can skip forward to that.
Excellently performed and acted.
Yeah, but if you don't enjoy joy, then this is not
the
podcast
for
you.
Then...
But yes, thank you to all of our lovely, lovely YouTube subscribers and everyone who follows us on social media. Speaking of really lovely people...
Lovely people.
...who only send good thoughts...
Yes.
...and lovely comments...
Because they're lovely.
They're lovely. I think it is time for us to thank our Patreon subscribers.
You mean the lovely people?
The lovely people.
The lovely people. Thank you very much this week. To Ezra Faris.
To Dawn Mitchell.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. I'm going to butcher your name. I apologise. To Elpida Piscacar.
And to... I ate all your bees!
Not my bees!
I ate all your bees!
I like bees. And to Charmaine Fury, who ate no bees.
She ate no bees, but she's still lovely.
She's still lovely.
You all buzz with delight, you lovely, lovely, sexy Patreon subscribers. We had fun over on Patreon this week, didn't we, Nick, with your story?
Oh, we did. Yes. It was a musical episode.
It was musical.
That had a distinct lack of musicality to it.
Well, we did do a tiny bit of singing in the background, but I think everyone sang along with us. We explored the legends behind Sweeney Todd.
Yeah,
following
absolutely.
Last week's main episode, people were interested to hear where does the legend of Sweeney Todd come from, and we went over the fiction and the non-fiction.
Indeed.
And
we found out some interesting things. It was a good one.
Very good. And then we did a bit of singing and discussed pies. If you want to know about the legend of Sweeney Todd, or also what the hell we're talking about when we refer to this Patreon business, please consider supporting us on patreon.com/thepoisonouscabinet, where you get extra episodes, you get bonus content, you get lovely loveliness from all the lovely Patreons, and you get to chat to us a bit more.
Well, hurrah. What's not to like?
Well, Nick, are you ready?
I think we probably should be.
To drink cocktails and talk about poison?
Not sure that's wise at the moment.
Nor... Well, we could drink poison and talk about cocktails.
That may be the best option.
Take it down a notch.
Yes, that may be the best choice.
Slow down the old supercomputer. Well, should we see what happens?
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. Let's see what happens in the kitchen, but probably go with the first one.
Okay.
Hooray, hooray, hooray. It is my story this week, and we can't possibly have a story without a cocktail in hand. As you know, dear listeners, every week we choose a secret ingredient that is inspired by the tale that we tell, and it will flavor our cocktail of the week. So, this week's secret ingredient is... Pirates!
Pirates.
Pirates!
Pirates.
Hi, diddly dee. A pirate's life for me.
Yeah.
It's not how that song goes. Yes, pirates. Pirates of the old ways of the sea.
It's a bit broad, isn't it?
I gave you choices.
You did. But one of them was pirates and the other one was pirate.
There's a big difference. A collection. What's a collective noun for pirates?
A horde.
A horde of pirates? An R of pirates. And a vast of pirates. Well, we've got pirates. There's a few. There are a few. There's not just one.
It's like the secret ingredient is murderers.
One bloody week it will be.
When we're really scraping the barrel of ingredients. I mean, could have a barrel. Pirates use barrels.
Oh, yeah. Well, fine. Barrel. There you go. I was looking through stuff and then went, oh, there's a few things in here that could have been the ingredient. But no, it's fine. Pirates. There's a lot that could be done with pirates. Why am I talking a West Country accent?
I don't know. Not an even very
pirate-y
voice.
All those West Country accents. There were smugglers. But with pirates as the ingredient,
yeah.
What have you come up with?
Well, I thought... What do pirates like?
Booty.
Well, pirates like grog, but we've done grog.
They love
perfect
rum, allegedly.
Rum, yes.
That's associated with
bit
pirates.
Of rum, absolutely.
They love treasure.
Oh, yes, that's a good shout. I didn't think of that.
Big thing about pirates. Yeah, they're famously often after treasure.
They do like treasure.
They like a parrot.
There are many options that I just hadn't considered.
And every time we do a story on pirates, the same Simpsons jokes and other jokes come through my head of like, I've drawn a map on this cracker, which Polly will hold for safekeeping. But yeah, parrots, treasure, they love that. Boats, they famously like those
too.
They like to go up the riggings.
Quite
and,
boaty. Yeah, this is true.
They like it in the stern.
Really? I do have an excellent book.
Actually. Right.
It's called Sodomy and the Pirate Tradition.
Oh, yes, you do have that book, because I helped arrange your shelves. Where is it? Is it here?
It's around there somewhere.
Sodomy and the Pirate Tradition. Ooh, what were you trying to learn, Nick? This would have been a good resource.
It's an excellent book about pirates.
The table contained a vast quantity of information about the structure of the... Oh, no, that's terrible. This is flagrant false advertising,
Nick. Very interesting book about the life of pirates.
One step in the direction of encouraging prosperity was to... Okay, I am seeing nothing about the S word in here. Is there a whole hidden chapter at the back? Oh, shipbound. Sorry.
She's found it.
I think I have. I'll read that later.
Yeah, so that's some exciting bedtime reading for you.
Yes, well, maybe we'll read chapters of that. Passages from it later if the podcast dips at any point.
Yes.
Well, we know what pirates like, apparently.
Yeah, absolutely.
I now am fearful that you brought up this book of what the cocktail is, but what have you come up
with?
We're
having a pirate queen.
A pirate queen!
A pirate queen.
Oh, so they like queens?
I don't know, but they have queens.
They have queens.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So like dear old Ching Yishi.
Yes, who we've covered
over
before.
In China. Who there's a few of them scary pirate ladies.
Oh, a pirate queen, lovely, and could be apt for the episode.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it is high time for us to clasp our cutlasses between our teeth and swing into the poisonous cabinet kitchen and land safely, and shake up a storm. So we'll see you in a minute.
We'll see you in a bit.
And we're back.
Hello.
So Nick, the pirate queen.
The pirate queen.
Looks hearty.
Yes, quite.
Me hearties. Uh-huh. And other pirate phrases.
And other pirate phrasology.
I remember all of them now. Yeah, no, looks good. You put it in a pretty glass.
I thought a nice piratey goblet.
Piratey goblet, yes. Fitting for a pirate queen.
Quite.
Big cube of ice in there. It's a pale lemony yellowy colour. Amber.
Yes, let's go with that kind of peachy ambery sort of colour.
What on earth could be befitting a pirate queen? Mm. What does she like? It hasn't got parrot in it.
Yes, it's got compressed parrot.
Yeah, they sure put up some squawk. All right, well, I think there's nothing for it but to dive in,
yes,
really. To walk indeed. The plank.
Walk the plank.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Wait, hello.
Ooh, that's quite nice.
Ooh, that's nice. There's a lot of flavour. It's flavourful.
Flavourful.
Sharp. Your sweetness to it.
Oh, yes, more of this, please.
Oh, yeah, let's have more of these. And it's got ice in it, so it's fine. That's our logic now, is that that's basically diluted. It's pretty much a soft drink.
No, I like that.
I like that a lot. So what would be in it?
What would be in it? That is the question.
Would be in it. Okay. Has it got peach in it?
No.
Damn. I thought you'd let something slip there. And now all I taste is peach. So has it got rum?
It has got rum.
Has it got the spiced rum?
It has not. No.
Has it got the whited rum?
It has not.
Oh, the Cuban, the special in-betweeny one?
Special in-betweeny rum.
Just dark rum?
It's just got a nice aged, eight-year-old aged rum.
Right, okay. Because I know there's the Havana Club one that you have, which isn't quite a white rum and it isn't quite a dark rum.
No, the one I've got is like a three-year-old one. The Havana Club is like a three-year, so yeah, so it's like somewhere in between. This is a nice one.
So is it got some citrus in there?
Yeah.
Lemon?
Yes.
Yay, a lemon.
Two things.
Two more things.
No, you've guessed two things.
Two things. Out of? What?
Eight.
Are you serious? Okay, well, I'll keep going.
Yes.
Christ. Sugar. Sugar syrup? Just a simple sugar syrup?
Well,
honey syrup.
There is a honey syrup.
Yay! Okay. I don't know what else is in here. There's something in there, Nick. Is something floral? Was it like a triple sec or?
No.
But not a maraschino?
No.
Fruity? Something else fruity?
Not really.
Twiggy? Is there something else in this?
Yes.
Or something with a flavour?
Yes.
Good, we're narrowing it down.
There are other flavours in there.
Is there more alcohol in this?
Yes.
Bourbon?
No.
Gin?
Ish.
Oh, Genever?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Like it. Dutch? That's where some pirates came from. They were fighting the Spanish. Okay, Genever. Nice. Okay, fuck. Right. More alcohol?
Nope.
Oh, no. Everything else is just accoutrement.
Yes,
is
indeed.
It? Right. Lime?
Nope.
Bitters?
Yes. There's some peyote.
Oh, peyote's bitter. Orange juice? Or like a juice?
Nope.
Water? Why have I forgotten everything that there is?
You've listed quite a lot of them.
I have, and I think I deserve another drink.
I'm going to put you out of your misery.
Please do.
So there is some Sanna sugar syrup in as well. Sugar syrup in there as well.
Oh, come on! I said that.
There is also some ginger and some cinnamon.
Oh, really? Oh, that's where all the spiciness comes from. Yeah. Oh, wow! It's delicious.
It's really good.
Yeah, I do think that has combined to taste like peach. I'm not kidding. It's not just because you said it to be peachy colour. I was thinking, oh, this tastes like a fruit, like a stone fruit. Maybe that's the secret to it all.
Maybe. I'm not getting that myself, I must admit.
But
fair enough.
Maybe I'm just mental. Oh, no, that's delicious.
Really like peaches. No, it is a very good drink. I'm very happy with that.
Oh, no, that's good. And lots of spices from the east and from the west. Spices that the pirates would steal.
Yes.
That they would steal from cargo ships. Yes. It's very piratey. I think that's a roaring success.
Absolutely.
Delightful. Okay, well, with the pirate queen firmly in hand.
Yes.
We're going to walk her down the road.
Oh, good. Okay.
Are you ready for a story?
Always ready for a story.
Hooray, hooray, hooray. Well, it may shock you to learn that we are taking to the high seas.
What a surprise. If we're not, then something's gone very, very wrong.
I'm here to tell you about the crime of copying DVDs.
Yes.
No, we are, of course, heading to the high seas to tell a tale of pirates. A few pirates,
okay,
actually.
Ooh, more than one pirate.
More than one pirate. There are many, 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 many pirates.
There are at least four.
Putting out the ingredient, many people went, oh, this pirate and that pirate. It gives us even more fodder for future episodes, I fear.
But a lady pirate, you alluded to a lady pirate.
I said that a pirate queen might be apt.
Okay.
I won't be drawn on other things.
But several pirates.
But several pirates.
In the same story. And one of them's a lady pirate.
Maybe. Well, we have our main story, but a couple of other stories as well, because the thing with telling stories about pirates is that you either have a lot of historical documents about which direction the ship sailed in.
And I want to know that.
Yes, you want to know that. So it's all this sort of, yeah, let's make this sound legitimate and let's have details of these raids that definitely weren't raids. And then just a load of stories that people were writing and like, challenge me, why not?
Like it.
It's a great period of history. But you like a pirate, don't you, Nick?
I love a pirate. Absolutely.
What do you know of the golden age of pirates?
Well, that's where there were lots of them about. That's when all the big names were about.
The biggies.
That's where you have the big names. You have, yes, like Edward Teach and things, dear old Blackbeard. Mm-hmm. He's bumbling around at that sort of time.
He is.
Is it Steve Bonnet as well, the gentleman pirate? He's bumbling around there. Yeah, and Bonnie, all those, Charles Vane, they're all having a grand old time.
They are having a grand old time in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
They all had a sort of committee together that they formed, and they all came up with the pirate code. That is a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Yes. Quick fact, though, as well. Do you know the difference between a pirate and a privateer?
Yes.
It's a very important difference. Allegedly.
I have a bit of paper from the Queen going, you're allowed to murder and rob people because you have a nice stamp from the Queen.
Yes, a mark.
Yes.
Yes, they get to carry this. Pirates operate for no legal authority, only for personal gain, where privateers are authorised and sanctioned by the government or the crown to attack enemy ships. So the whole point at the time of the Golden Age of Piracy, where you've got English pirates out, mostly it's all a ruse to beat up the Spanish.
Yeah, absolutely. And the big old gold galleons coming from South America and the like.
Indeed. They would be based in the Caribbean, so in Jamaica, Barbados, all the beautiful islands down there, and they are supported, and they said, yes, you can go and attack things and blow stuff up. You're supporting the Navy. That's what you're doing. Attacks on land, not permitted. Don't you go on land and fuck shit up. That's illegal. But official plunder gained through the official activity was split between the government and the ship owners. So pirates didn't own their ships. Ships are expensive.
Yes, they are.
They would rent them. And the ship owners, back who have done nothing, would get a share of the plunder. And the privateer...
Well, they're taking the risk, I suppose.
They
you
are.
You could blow my boat up.
Exactly. They would be at a loss. But the privateer wouldn't technically gain anything. But whatever they did on land, which was highly illegal, they could keep. So incentive. Incentive is there to do stuff. Do you know what pieces of eight are?
Some sort of coin.
Yes, it's a Spanish dollar.
Yes.
So when they say pieces of eight, it's an actual coin.
It's a coin.
Not just lots of pieces of eight broken up. Not after 8 minutes that they're handing around. Here's a treat for you all.
It's a piece of an after eight. Not a whole after eight, but a piece of an after eight.
A piece of it. One day I'll own a whole after eight.
We're not made of money on this ship, you know.
So everyone else is getting gold. Shut up and eat your chocolate.
Everyone else is putting the wrappers back in the box. There were none left.
That was the greatest crime of all. Russell, 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 you bastards. Before we get into our main story, though, I thought I'd share a couple of highlights from the lives of famous pirates that interested me enough that I thought, yeah, they're not worth a whole episode or even really a Patreon episode. But aside from Blackbeard, the one that everyone knows, anyone who's of drinking age will know about at some point, they'll have met dear old Captain Morgan.
Dear old Captain Morgan.
Dear old Captain
Morgan. And his rum.
And his rum. Do you have any Captain Morgans here?
I don't know if I do, actually.
Yeah.
I've got a Sailor Jerry.
Oh, Sailor Jerry.
I don't know.
He was different.
Captain Morgan's right-hand man.
I don't know anything about Sailor Jerry, actually.
I think he's entirely fictional. I do have Caribbean Pearl.
That's what he was seeking.
Yep.
But do you know much about Captain Morgan himself?
I can't say I do, no.
Yeah. There's a lot written about Captain Morgan because he was a privateer. That's the thing. Everyone's like, Captain Morgan, the famous pirate. He was officially a privateer. And he got away with a lot of murder and a lot of theft because the government said it's fine. And you sort of look back at the history of Captain Morgan and you go, has anyone spoken to the PR department at the rum factory to go, we really want this man on the front of our bottles? Now, his history is sort of disputed. You have the official side of things, him being a privateer and what the government and the crown allowed him to do. And then some of the more salacious rumours that were spread about him and a book that was famously written by a person called Exquemelin. Do you know that name?
I can't say I do.
Exquemelin, I think I'm pronouncing that right. Wrote several books about pirates, but had all of the juicy, lurid details, apparently first-hand accounts, and all these stories of what they really did. And in their book about Captain Morgan, there was no hold barred. It spelled out exactly the horrors that these people had committed in order to get their plunder. Whereas in the UK, it was all like, and they just sailed their ship nicely, and everyone was fine.
And everyone was fine.
Yeah. Captain Morgan, nice little facts, married his cousin.
Yeah.
Married his cousin, mainly because
the style of the time.
Yeah, his uncle was a deputy governor of Jamaica, and he was like, "That's convenient. I'll marry you."
Didn't he become governor of Jamaica as well?
He did later. Well, yes. he was again deputy, and he was involved in politics in Jamaica at the end of his privateering career.
Because he was knighted as well, wasn't he?
He was.
He's a sir.
He was knighted at the end of his
fancy
career. He was not very good. I think people wrote like, "He's not good at politics."
He's not a good governor.
But no, he's not good
he's
at
more
this.
More good at blowing shit up.
Yes, pretty much. Very good military and battle tactician. Knew exactly what he was doing in that respect. He was alleged in this book that came out, though, to have used hostages as human shields, completely took part in the torture of the innocent bystanders of the places that he was raiding because he needed to find the treasure. And it was...
How else are you going to find treasure?
Well, that's it. Most people hide the treasure, hide it away. Okay, we're going to have to torture you until you tell us where it is. And he was fine with that. Famously, in Portobello, which is in Panama, he was raiding three castles. Three castles he had to knacker.
That's a knacker the castles.
That's a knacker the castles. That is how you tackle a castle. Do you not know that
by
phrase?
By knackering it.
Knackering it. Yep. And he did well. He knackered too.
Right, okay.
And the hostages...
6th Division, you go and knacker that castle.
Like, we're not sure what we're doing here. Just use
get
your imagination.
Get on with the knackering, come on.
Right, someone get some pliers. I don't know. The hostages he took from the first two castles were holy men and nuns. And he sent them...
Well, they deserved it.
Well, he sent them out with the big ladders to place that against the third castle. They'd constructed these huge ladders that were sort of three men abreast. And they were like, right, hostages, you go and place them by the castle. And of course, they were just pummeled with everything was fired at them. And many of them died. Mm. The book that came out saying, yep, he used human shields. He tortured people. He was brutal, even though he secured lots of victories. Morgan sued the author, and he did win his libel case, and that passage was later removed, but it still stands right. The test of time.
Okay, yeah. But everyone's read it now.
Everyone has read it, and they've taken it again. Yeah, we're going to put it over here for later.
Yes. The director's cut.
All of these allegations. Morgan comes back to England every time he comes back, and they're like, oh, Captain Morgan, oh, you ruffle your hair, you rapscallion,
you. Oh, you and your rum.
Now, don't do it again. We'll slap you on the wrist. No action. Ever taken against him. None of that. His biggest attack, there's a nice little side note here, is he had an attack on Panama again. And he sailed there with 30 ships. His own
that's
ship.
That's pretty damn impressive.
That's huge.
A fleet like that. That is.
Well, he had.
Somewhat terrifying.
He had amassed a reputation by this time on this attack on Panama. It was one of his biggest. And people knew of him and they wanted to sail with him. Yeah. And sort of like generals and nobles from the Navy in the past came out to sail with him. So, yeah, he was pretty commanding. His own ship on this voyage, it was a 22-gun ship, and it was called the Satisfaction.
Oh, nice.
And that's just, it gives me the ick, to be honest.
The Satisfaction.
The Satisfaction. I've got so many guns, it guarantees. Just, oh, you bloody would call it that, wouldn't you? I know he rented it from someone, but he was like, I want that one. We've got a bigger one. That's called the Tiny Penis. When he took the harbour, they made their way on foot through the jungle to Panama City. So again, not supposed to do this, but of course, absolutely going to. And he was met famously by 1,200 infantry, 400 cavalry, and a herd of bulls and oxen who were just going to be released to fuck shit up.
Yeah, I mean, to herd all that lot towards you.
Well, that was it.
Galloping towards you. Yeah, you're going to get squashed.
That was the plan. It was to break up their attack.
Yeah.
Morgan, very tough. Yeah. It didn't work, really. Morgan was the far better strategist, even though there was a huge force.
Get a ray of barbecues ready to go.
You joke. He was able to outfire the enemy from his perspective, absolutely took them over. When they released the bull and oxen, they ran into the field. Obviously, there's gunfire everywhere. They turned around and stampeded over their keepers and some of the Spanish troops as
well. Nice.
Like, okay.
Yes, they're not going to run towards gunfire, are they?
No, but they thought they would. They're not cavalry horses.
Yeah.
So, yes, Morgan did win. 500 of the Spanish men dead, 15 of Morgan's only. And they ate the bulls. Well, their victory.
As one would.
Yes, they toasted those up. Panama City is burning behind them because the governor was like, I'm going to burn this shit to the ground rather than giving it to you. But yes, at the time of that attack, back in England, they had signed a treaty with Spain to bring peace to the Caribbean just as Panama is burning.
And oh, it takes a long time for news to get across.
Yeah, news had not travelled. Yeah. It's like,
it's all
sorry.
Fair game.
Yeah. Morgan was arrested to make Spain happy. They were like, we'll arrest him. We'll bring him back. Came out, heroes welcome.
Yeah, exactly. Heroes and we'll give him a big old parade. Oh, no, it's a terrible parade of shame.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. Go on, let me off.
He'll hate it.
Carried high on their shoulders through the city. So we won't charge you with any offences and have a knighthood for your trouble.
Excellent.
Yeah, walked away with a knighthood. Yes, he went on to go into politics very loosely in Jamaica, where he drank himself pretty much to death and owned a lot of slaves.
Yeah.
Oh, he did own a lot of slaves. Big old slave owner. Fun fact, though, as well, about him, last one. Buried in Port Royal, his grave was lost to the sea because of an earthquake.
Oh.
Hit the harbour, hit the cemetery, and it all fell into the sea.
So his last resting places are not known.
Ah, well, he's under the ocean where he want to be.
Yeah, where he belongs, well, the bastard.
Good old piratey ways. Down with Davy Jones.
Another pirate I was going to talk about briefly. We all love some gory detail, don't we? And I thought it was worth mentioning one pirate whose exploits really aren't interesting, let's say. He was a so-so pirate, he was fine, but he was known to be the bloodiest in terms of his retribution. And his name is difficult. It's François Lolonnaise.
Okay.
Lolonnaise. So he was born Jean-David Nau, and he was born in France in Les Sables de Olonne. And he would later be called François of Lon de Lolonnaise. I'm just going to call him François because...
Let's go with François.
François. He was, at the age of 15, sold as a slave by his parents.
Okay.
Spent 10 years working on sugar plantations in the Dominican Republic and Haiti. Hard, hard, horrible work.
Not fun.
In his 20s, got his freedom, quickly fell in with the local buccaneers roaming the islands and made his way to Tortuga,
nice.
Which is the absolute pinnacle of where all the pirates like to hang out. It's a lovely, lovely place.
Piratey place, absolutely.
Oh, piratey place. Joined ships, learned the ways of the sea, but his bloody punishments were legend, as I said. His various exploits were bollocks, mostly. There was a story about him, again, like escaping from some Spanish fleets when he was quite young on a ship, and they killed everyone, and he rolled around in mud and blood to play dead, and then he used a canoe to row from Mexico to Barbados.
Okay.
In a canoe.
That's ambitious.
Yes, because he's a powerful man. On one occasion, a 10-gun, 90-man ship was sent to kill him. He took over the ship, managed to overpower all of them, and then one by one, he went round and beheaded each man.
Okay.
In the crew. 87 men it was who were left after the attack.
You'd thought they could probably have got together and stopped him.
Well, he had a crew too. It wasn't just
him. Okay, right. Also, the mate you made a statement, he's on his canoe by himself.
No, that was different. That was years before.
And it's just him against a crew of 90 men. And he's...
The way it's written. Yes. He was like, no, it's definitely me. And there's all these people behind him going, dude, we help.
Come on.
No, I should have had wavy lines
like
between the canoe.
400 people behind me.
He was there with a canoe, not even a knife, just a spoon. No, there was a bit of passage of time. He was on a fucking ship by then.
Now he's got a crew and everything behind him.
Got a crew.
Okay, fair enough.
Cuts the heads off, leaves one man alive.
To tell the tale.
Say, never henceforth will he give quarter to any Spaniard whatsoever. His methods of torture, to make them talk, to find out where the treasure was buried. Slowly slicing bits of flesh from the body. Start off small.
Yeah.
And then just move up to big chunks and then digits and then hands and then limbs. And whoever's not talking by the fourth limb, braver person than us.
Yeah, actually, you say, look, I've got a knife. What do you want to know?
I know. It was like mild paper cut. Ouch! Okay, I'll tell you everything.
I don't think I would hold up well in a talking situation.
No, God, no. Also, I think that those people are probably dead by then. So they're still not talking. They're fucking dead. Old method of cutting out tongues as well, which is not going to help people talk.
No.
But do that in front of other crew members.
It's going to inspire some trepidation.
Yeah, burning alive.
Oof.
Yeah, you're going to talk, aren't you, when the flames hit. But his favourite, I think it's Woulding. It's called. So it's a version of grotting. And he would do this with a knotted rope round the victim's neck, twist it with a wooden stick, and often I think they'd be put against the mast, and it would be tighter and tighter until their eyes popped out.
Yeah, that's going to cause a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Your head's going to pop off.
Yeah, basically it's like swelling and then the eyes came out, and then everyone had to watch that and go, right, do you want to be next?
Fun.
Yeah.
Fun.
So people talked. People talk quite quickly. Yeah. He also had this story that followed him around, and it is written about and in all the reports here, about when he took two soldiers hostage. He overpowered them when he was sacking an area in Honduras. He drew his cutlass and with it cut open the breast of one of those poor Spanish, and pulling out his heart with his sacrilegious hands, began to bite and gnaw at it with his teeth like a ravenous wolf, saying to the rest, I will serve you all alike if you show me not another way.
Okay, that'll do it.
So yeah, there's another version of it where he hands round the heart for his crew to eat, and another version where he gives it to the other man, there's two of them, and says, you eat it. you have to take a bite out of this heart. And he's like, I'll give you anything you want.
Yeah, I don't
want
to.
What happened to him exactly, we don't know. But apparently, he was on the run from enemies in Nicaragua. He ended up in Colombia. And the indigenous people of Colombia, I think it's the Kuna, tore him to pieces.
Well, as they should.
He was captured, torn to pieces, throwing his body limb by limb into the fire and the ashes into the air. To the intent, no trace nor memory might remain of such an infamous, inhuman creature. Da, da, da. So there you go. There's a couple of little stories of pirates there.
Okay.
To get you all in the mood.
I'm in a piratey mood.
In piratey mood. But to our main tale.
Okay.
Our main tale. The story of three pirates who became legend. And one of them is a fearsome woman of the sea. It's a lady.
It's a lady pirate.
That you've mentioned.
Is it Anne Bonny?
It is Anne Bonny. It is Anne Bonny.
Yes.
Are you going?
Yeah.
Good old Annie.
It's a good story.
It's a good story. Now, as I've said before, the resources for pirate stories are a mixed bag.
Mm.
They are a mixed bag. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of accounts. And it sort of harks back to what we were talking about with Sweeney Todd on Patreon, where you've got books written and people go, okay, here's a source. And then you go, but what about their sources?
Yes.
Where did they get any of this
they
from?
They made it all up.
They made it all up, but it's been quoted and then re-quoted and quoted again. So you kind of go, interesting. Mm. But there are enough reports because of convictions and records and stuff in docks and harbours and everything like that we can piece this together. But also, let's have fun.
Okay.
Let's enjoy it. So let's start with the tale of Anne Bonny. Who was Anne Bonny? She was born in County Cork in 1697, we think, and illegitimate.
My God.
Illegitimate birth.
Such a scandal.
Now, this should be a short story of her, that she was born illegitimately. I found one book that had such detail on the story of her birth and how it came about. It's brilliant. I couldn't not include it.
Okay.
So her father was a lawyer named William Cormack. He was married to a wealthy lady. Apparently she had the money. But he found himself in need of comforting when his wife fell ill. This is the short version.
Okay.
His wife fell ill. Oh, no, no. Wife has to go and stay with his mother-in-law. Oh, no, 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 no. God, what shall I do while she's away? What shall I do? Oh, yes. The serving woman. She'll comfort me.
She'll comfort me. Absolutely. What shall I do? I'll do the serving woman.
I'll do the serving woman. Mary Brennan, consensually, a both. Woohoo! Yeah, leap into bed. And we all know that shagging leads to babies every time.
It does happen.
If you do it once, seven babies. And then Anne arrives. Daddy did present her as legitimate. He accepted her. Marriage wasn't going well. This didn't obviously go down well with the wife.
No.
But it ends up with William moving to London to get away from her, and he takes Anne and Mary with him.
Okay.
Starting a new life, and he's going to start a new business. That's really nice. Now, the extended version of how the pregnancy came about is from a book called...
I think we know how it came about.
Oh, no, no, there's all sorts of shenanigans.
Too much detail about how it came about.
How the wife found out.
I can have
how
the guess.
Wife, how the wife found out. No, it was a miracle birth. There was a star yonder and a donkey. No, the book is She Captains, Heroines and Hellions from the Sea, and the author is just drawn together all sorts of research and lurid details. Great.
Okay.
So before the baby arrives, Mary, the maid, had been stepping out with a young tanner who was known to be light-fingered, so he had been stealing from the house. Swiped a bunch of silver spoons.
Oh, it's not the spoons.
Not the spoons!
Not the spoons.
They're good, they're easy, slip in your pocket and everything. Mary caught him, said, I will turn you in, return the spoons.
Return the spoons.
Return the spoons. So he put them back in her bedroom one night. So
Ooh.
Spoons are now in Mary's bedroom. Okay, got that?
Yeah.
Right. Now, the mistress of the house comes to hear of this theft from Mary. She says, look, the tanner did it, but I've spoken to him. He's going to return it and, you know, we'll handle it. The tanner goes to the mistress of the house privately. Please, please, please don't prosecute me. I have returned them. I've hidden them in Mary's bedroom. Please, you'll find them there in a roundabout way. And so the wife goes, okay, fine. I will go into the room under cover of night and make sure that Mary's not stealing as well. I think is the only logic.
Why would he tell her that that I've put the spoons there? Just say, wasn't me, Mary did it.
Well, maybe he did. Maybe that was it. But in this version,
okay,
everyone is talking about the spoons in this version.
Yes.
None of it makes sense. It doesn't make sense for the wife who then goes, gets Mary to go leave her room, decides she's going to go into Mary's bedroom to find the spoons, but wants to make sure that the tanner's not going to steal them again, so spends the night in Mary's room. In her bed. I better guard these spoons.
Right. Not, I might. I mean, how many spoons were there?
I just, I don't. I mean, maybe they were encrusted with jewels.
I mean, or this is like hundreds and hundreds of spoons. I cannot possibly carry all these spoons to either to my room or back down to the kitchen. There's just trunk upon trunk of spoons.
I don't know. Maybe they had great sentimental value.
I must stay here and guard the spoons.
She had to guard the spoons. She had to make sure that no one else was going to steal the spoons. Right. So she's in Mary's bed at night. It's dark. She's guarding the spoons.
And
then the door opens and she hears a footstep.
It's the husband.
And a voice says, "Mary, are you awake?" And it's the voice of her husband. And the wife decides, I shall catch him in the act by playing along.
Right.
Decides to stay quiet. And apparently the husband did, in quotes, that night, play the vigorous lover while she lay still and bore it like a Christian. He comes in. Shags the wife. I know this doesn't explain Mary's pregnancy at all.
How is Mary now pregnant from this? Surely the wife would now be pregnant.
It was now the virgin birth. No, the wife did fall pregnant as a result of this.
As a result of this, okay.
Right. She ends up fleeing to the mother-in-law going, "My husband's awful and he's having an affair and he shagged me and he thought I was the maid and now I'm pregnant." Yes, she's pregnant. Mary's pregnant as well. And he's like, "Oh shit, we have two pregnancies in town." So yeah, there's no point to any of that story.
But what about the spoons? What's happened to the spoons?
She needs the spoons.
Where were the spoons?
She is to provide for her children. The spoons ensure their safety.
Famously eat spoons. Nothing but spoons.
She's going to ensure they're born with a silver spoon in their mouth. I think she's pregnant with twins as well. It makes very vigorous lovemaking.
Is that how that works? The more vigorous, the more babies you have.
Do you not know that?
Yes, I'm...
Yeah, if you do it really vigorously, you have twins or
have
triplets.
Twins or triplets, depending on how far you're going.
That woman who had octoplets, woo!
Oh, she had a granddaughter, I'm getting there.
Headboard wrecked. So anyway, there's no point to that story, but it's included and I loved it so much. But anyway, Anne is just born now.
Right.
William takes her and his lover to London. And for some reason, he decides to start dressing Anne as a boy.
Okay.
Calling him Andy. And I think it is so she can work as a clerk in his new business.
Yep.
She's still quite young. She's still, but you know, this is in the 1600s
well,
and everything.
Yes, you started work young back then.
Yeah, so at three. Hello, Daddy. Yeah. So is working with him, but the money that he had from his wife soon runs out. The wife has cut him off, obviously. Mm. She has spoons to buy. Then they decide to move to the USA, South Carolina, to start afresh. He's going to start a business there. It should be a good move. Romantic story of love conquering all. At the age of 12, Anne's mother, Mary, dies. Daddy's business is not doing very well. Mm. And what's more, Anne is not the sweet, innocent little girl. She is a red-haired beauty. Ah, yes. Beautiful. Quite the catch. But she has a temper. Mm. Allegedly stabbed one of the servant girls.
Oh, that'll do it.
With a table knife. So maybe at the table. I don't know why the one, because I remember one report says stabbed her with a knife. So thank you for clarifying that.
Not with a spoon.
Not with a spoon. No, that's dull. It'll hurt more. Nearly killed a man who tried to work his charms on her, but was savage in her attack back.
Yeah.
So yeah, quite a wild child. Daddy had now stopped dressing her as a boy and wants to get her married off into a good family. But she has other ideas. At the age of 16, she marries a poor sailor named James Bonney. This is where she gets the name, Anne Bonney. He has no prospects. He'd only married her because he thought Daddy was rich.
Yeah.
And he was going to get a plantation and lots of money. Daddy does not have any money. He's really, really bankrupt. And also, when he finds out that his daughter has married this poverty-stricken sailor, disowned. Kicks her out of the house.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm done with you. I've done my best. Well. I gave you the finest breeches and caps that a boy could want. The newlyweds do what many people do at this time. They decide to head to the Bahamas for a new life. Allegedly, Anne burned down her dad's plantation before she left.
Unless.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe Daddy did it for insurance, so we don't know. But they arrive in Nassau on New Providence Island. Anne's eyes are opened to a whole new slice of society.
Yeah, quite different.
Yeah. Nassau is the haven for pirates. We talk about Tortuga, but Nassau is literally the base of the Flying Gang. It is the Republic of Pirates at the time. That is a thing. If you've seen Black Sails or played Assassin's Creed Black Flag, it's there.
It's all Nassau.
It's there. Yeah. I must watch that. I've not watched Black Sails.
It's fucking brilliant.
Is it really good?
Really good.
Oh, I might watch that this
really
weekend.
Really good. Yeah.
Pirate Code is a real thing. These are bands of privateers who turned pirate, who agree to treat each other with civility, agree who leads the ships, what they could trade. They can trade there. They can hole up safely. The governors can easily be bribed. You know, they're absolutely safe. Eventually, the pirates are too great in number and in insanity in many cases to be turned out. Mm. So there's around about 1,000 pirates in the port at any one time. So it's literally that scene from Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah. Like, yo ho, yo ho, smashing shit.
I mean, constantly, just musicals, constantly. Yes, singing, constantly.
I mean,
singing.
It's a wonderful place. Good weather and musicals and rum. So Anne is very taken with the wild freedom of Nassau and quickly makes friends with many pirates. She's hanging in. Ah. This is brilliant. Her husband, though, is planning to work against the scallywags.
Oh.
In 1718, the governor of Bahamas, Woods Rogers, declares that he is able to grant the king's pardon to any pirates who give up their ways, who are willing to turn themselves in and goes, we won't be pirating anymore, and we'll give you information on other pirates. Mm. So they sort of try and wipe the slate clean. Also knowing, I think this is all based as well, partly on the fact that there were privateers who turned pirate and like, yeah, look, we know you worked for us. Let's just, no questions asked, stop it. And you can go free.
Yeah.
So lots of people are like rocking up into Nassau going, oh yeah, we'll take this, we'll take this. Clean slate, clean slate. Mm. And then they fuck off and just keep pirating. James Bonney becomes an informer against pirates.
It's not going to go down well, I feel.
Scab. Mm. Scab. He's got a few petty crimes on his list. Anne is furious by this.
Yeah.
She's furious because, you know, she's made friends with these people and she doesn't want his namby-pamby sort of boring life of poverty. She's all but abandoned her husband to mingle with her new friends. And then she meets John Rackham.
Yes.
Otherwise known as?
Calico Jack.
It's Calico Jack. Calico Jack. At this point, we should say he's named Calico Jack for his clothes, not because he's a cat.
Right. Thank you for that clarification.
It's a joke.
Is it?
Yeah, calico cats.
Okay.
It's a calico.
Okay.
It's funny. That's funny.
I'm sure there are people that are pissing themselves.
Yeah, they
right
are.
Now.
Yeah, because they'll yeah. be like a cat, like a cat, and everything. I didn't know what calico was apart from a cat. So it's a
fabric.
Type of fabric. Okay, what type of fabric is it?
I've got some.
Have you?
Yes, I have.
Well, that'd be great for a podcast. Please show us all the calico that you have. What's so fancy about calico?
It's not fancy at all. It's very cheap.
Is it? Oh, okay. What do you use it for? Just clothes? Just
I personally, I use it if I'm making a toile for something.
A what?
When you make like a mock-up.
Oh.
Of something.
I thought you just were being fancy in the
toile. That's what it's called.
Oh,
yeah, if you're making it like a mock-up before you cut into your fancy fabric.
For your gowns.
You make it in something cheap and cheerful.
Oh.
To get your sizes right and things like that, and I use calico
because
it's really cheap.
But wouldn't many people have worn that sort of clothing?
But potentially, perhaps he wore an awful lot of it. I don't know.
Maybe he wore it so much and he was selling it at the same time. Or maybe he had them in three different colours.
Or maybe he had cats.
Maybe he had cats.
I don't know.
Everyone else had a parrot on the shoulder. He had a calico
cat.
Why
he has that name, I do not.
He had a tortoise shell. Someone called him calico. He's like, look, this is really confusing.
It's
come on.
Nothing to do with fabric whatsoever.
But yes, Calico Jack. Now, his background, he was born in England in 1682. Earliest record of him as a quartermaster on the ship the Ranger, commanded by pirate, another one you've mentioned, sharing your knowledge, Charles Vane.
Mm.
Mm, famous pirate.
He was not a pleasant man either.
He was not a pleasant man, no. But the crew carried out successful raids many times until they encountered a much larger French man of war close to New York City. And this is a turning point for Calico Jack and Charles Vane. Vane did not want to take on the ship. Ordered a retreat. But Jack spoke out against this and the crew mostly agreed with him. They felt, no, let's go for it. Let's mm-hmm. let's battle them. If we get this ship, we have a massive ship on our fleet. It's going to have loads of riches. A vote was taken. 15 men supported Vane, 75 sided with Jack.
Wow.
But Vane went, no, I'm still going. My word is final. I'm the captain. They fled. A few days later, the crew cast a vote and they said, you're off the ship. They did allow Vane to leave with the men who supported
him. Well,
that's
the thing, because it was a surprisingly democratic environment.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. Where they chose who the captain was.
Yeah.
And if the captain got voted out, then, sorry, mate, you're not captain anymore. Surprisingly structured in their ways.
They were allowed to leave with supplies, with food and supplies and with boats and say, you go and we're not going to starve you to death
exactly.
or anything.
Don't hold a grudge or anything, but no, we've chosen someone else.
So all this bitterness and rivalry, it's just kind of like, yeah, you can fight against each other, but on the ship, no, it was democratic. Mm. Now, also people say Calico Jack designed the Jolly Roger pirate flag. There's no record to substantiate this because people go, no, he had a flag. He had a flag and I think it was just black and white or predominantly white. And because the Jolly Roger before most other pirate flags were quite colourful, But they were like, where did that come from? Maybe Calico Jack, because it's the skull and crossbones, white on black. They think it was him. Some people swear down that it was Calico Jack.
Fair enough.
So let's just say he did.
Yep. I'm happy to go with that.
So that's the first thing that Anne sees. Ooh, it's so sexy. Jack had made a so-so career as a pirate. He was fine. He had gone to Nassau to appeal for the royal pardon as well. Oh yeah, I never wanted to be a pirate. Vane made me. Yeah, can I have the pardon? Right, off we go. Start afresh. His determination to live an honest life lasts as long as it takes for him to meet Anne. They quickly start knocking boots.
Yep.
Swinging grog. It's a special position.
Sure they did.
Swinging grog together. Husband finds out about the fair, drags her before the governor and said, she's to be whipped for cheating on me. The governor's like, I have so many more important things to deal with.
I've got a lot to get on with it today.
Yeah, and also she's hot and you're a bit of a bitch. She wasn't whipped. Jack stepped up, offered to buy Anne.
Nice.
From her husband and said, I'll buy her, which is perfectly legitimate. Say, you divorce her, I'll buy her, I'll compensate you.
Yeah.
Bonnie was like, no.
She's mine.
Yeah, no, she's mine. I don't want to, stamping his feet, insisting his wife stay by his side. She's like, screw you.
Yeah, I'm Earth.
And then Anne and Jack board his ship and flee Nassau. Voided Jack's pardon completely, but who cares? And Anne is going to join the ship and is not going to be a little lady hiding away in the cabin with a little fan just to be shagged and sort of,
no, I'll
come out for snacks and things. No, she wants to join the crew. This is how the stories go. She is dresses up as a man at first to cover her tracks. She is dressed up as a male pirate to get stuck in and to work. At some point during her relationship with Jack, I'll just throw it in here, that she left the boat to go and stay in Cuba, where apparently she was pregnant.
Uh-huh.
So she fell pregnant while on the ship. And when she really started to show, and they were like, we can't disguise you as a man anymore. It's getting quite obvious that you're pregnant. He dropped her off at Cuba. She had the baby. Baby does not come back to the ship. Baby is left,
elsewhere.
Adopted, whatever. She comes back on the ship going, yep, the man has come back. Way, okay. And then she continues her life on the waves. Now, it's not usual for a woman to be aboard a ship.
No, indeed not.
So,
unlucky, some would say.
Well, yes. Not allowed to have a woman on the ship. So that's where some of the legends go, that she dresses a man consistently, that she hid her identity, that it would be terrible bad luck. And also, it's a ship full of men. They may take advantage. However, as you said, there is a pirate code. If the captain, if she is with the captain, it's a bit of, you're not going to mess
and
it out with the system.
She sounds like the one who's going to fight back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If someone tries something, she's going to cut your balls off.
Yeah, she's not a delicate wallflower. It's pretty damn obvious, probably, to the entire crew that she's a girl, was pregnant until very recently, and she keeps snogging the captain.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the crew are getting jealous, if anything. Like, we want to kiss him too. So let's go with the fact that she is in disguise as a boy, and no one has worked it out, even though everyone's worked it out. She's there one day on the boat doing her duties. Let's say she's mopping the deck, mopping the boards. There we are.
Swabbing the deck. Swabbing, that's what you're on the boat.
Oh, God, that's the first thing that she fell down. I'm like, it's swabbing. Swabbing. And she's going past people, excuse me.
Excuse me.
It's all right, mate. It's all right. Excuse me. It's all right, mate. Excuse me. It's all right. What? Huh? Nothing. What? Huh? Is that a woman's voice? Turns out, Anne is not the only woman aboard the ship.
There's another one.
She has just crossed paths with Mary Reed. And I think that's time for a drink.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Nick, we have our drinks.
We do.
We've topped up on fizz. 'Twas the drink of all the pirates. A fine Prosecco. Arr, there's the finest Prosecco that we've had in all of Tortuga. Why are you talking like that? I don't know. They said I was supposed to. Right, so.
Yes.
We're aboard the ship.
We do. Mary Read.
Mary Read. And Bonnie has just met Mary Read. They bumped into each other going, hello.
Hello.
Oh, and they're clocking each other. Like, oh, interesting. So who is this Mary Read character? Well, I'll tell you, Nick.
Tell me.
It would be a bit of a shit build-up if I didn't. So Mary Read, again, these are scant details, but born in England sometime in the 1600s.
Sometime.
The late 1600s.
Okay.
It's literally like between 1675 and today. Some of the results are like, we don't know. That's as much as we have. Similarity with Anne in that from a young age, it was said, she was dressed as a boy.
Yeah.
By her mother. Her mother had previously been married to a sailor. And had a son with him. But daddy was lost at sea.
Oh.
Shit. Tragic circumstances. The mother of the sailor made sure that Mary's mother, the widow, was taken care of. Mm-hmm. I will send you money to take care of your poor, poor boy. But then mama found comfort in the arms of another man, fell pregnant. And then she's like, okay, I'm pregnant. I have this infant son and I have another baby on the way. Sadly, the infant son dies.
Ew.
But then she thinks, okay, well, I'll just keep getting the allowance from ex-mother-in-law and pretend my daughter is a boy.
Is now a boy.
So this is the legend around her, that she is dressed as a boy and identifies as a boy through her teens, is brought up and raised that you are to dress as a boy. Obviously, there's all sorts of complications that we would can imagine with that, but uses this to her advantage, gains work as a footboy, and then gets work on warships and in the army as well. Serves on a man of war, joins an army regiment in Flanders as a cadet, fights bravely alongside the other soldiers as well. Was young, but was getting stuck in there. Yeah, was very interested in doing their bit. But her cover was blown when she reportedly fell in love with a fellow soldier while serving in Flanders. A boy, a man. There wasn't just a load of girls in there as well. Now, fell in love with a fellow soldier. While they were in the same regiment and like, sort of hunkered down in the barracks, she just snuck into his room and just went, look at these. That is literally how it's written. Yeah. That is how it is written. And then he was delighted, like, okay. And the rest of the regiment, when it all came out, accepted it. Absolutely fine. Yeah. Just came out and she went, you know, the war is over. Whatever war they were fighting, by the way. Like, by the way, I'm a woman. And they were like, okay, great, yay. They were so pleased that the couple, when they got married, and then all the regiment chipped in to give them money towards their first pub that they were going to open together. So they were all set to be innkeepers, settle down, but tragedy struck. Her husband died quite young. The business failed. All of her dreams shattered. Heartbroken and actually broke, Mary decided to once again dress up as a man and board a ship for new climates out to the Caribbean.
Okay.
As luck would have it, in a weird way, her ship was attacked by pirates.
Okay.
En route.
And she joined up.
Well, yeah, because you're confronted by the pirates, as often would happen, and go, right, so all of you stout men. And she's like, yep. You can either walk the plank or be killed, or you can join.
You can
pirate's life for you. You'll get your share of grog and plunder and as many women as you like. And she's like, okay. The pirate captain of the vessel asked her to join, and they thought they'd actually got a good prize. Cause it was like, oh yes, young English, and you'd served as well.
Know what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. What a strong fighter will have. And yeah, she's like, great, fine, I'll do it. She would later, of course, claim she'd had no choice but to join the pirates or walk the plank. People writing about Mary Read said, why would she have put herself at such risk to be a woman on a ship full of men? in disguise. Why would she offer to go onto a ship full of men and dressed up as a boy? And maybe no one's taken into consideration that she probably did identify as a boy. Or also, most people were like, yeah, we know who you are. It's absolutely fine.
Yeah, I mean, because there's not a lot of privacy.
No.
On a pirate ship.
Very close quarters.
It's very close quarters. So people are going to... It's not going to take people long to realise that, yeah, you have bits that we don't.
Also,
hide it for long, I imagine.
But I would counter that. Same thing with Mary Read and with Anne Bonny as well, is that the people write about it, go, how could they possibly not know? As well, no one's getting naked on a ship that regularly.
Oh, I think you probably are.
Well, if they're shagging each other, then yes, absolutely. If they're in close quarters, you can still sleep in your shirt and your long does well. You're not going to be, as some writers would have had it, her provocatively slipping her negligee off under her trousers, like, oh no, my breasts have fallen out and my hair's fallen down.
No, but I think, yeah, not in a sort of a sexy way,
yeah,
not in a sort of but in a just a sort of, okay, you need to wash or whatever like that. Yeah. You're not gonna have a privacy of like a private shower or anything,
no,
or a private bathtub,
yeah,
sort of thing. If it's just gonna be everyone on deck, get some buckets of water over you because you all stink,
yeah, but not everyone's necessarily going to be completely butt naked,
so,
for that. I don't know. My point is that people wrote about it as in, you know, women couldn't possibly have any way of covering up that they're women because their hairpins will fall out. And then, you know, suddenly they take off their glasses and, oh my God, she's a woman. That's how they write about
it. They're walking up the gangplank with all their chests of all their boxes and boxes of fine frocks.
The way they dressed as a boy was like they tied their shirt around their cleavage. Yeah, I'm dressed as a boy today. Here we are, makeup and lipstick on. It's like, I think they probably went to quite a lot of effort.
Yeah.
But back on the deck of the ship, Anne and Mary are like, you are too. Let's go somewhere private to talk about
let's
this.
Have a chat.
Maybe asking a series of questions to test each other. Okay, baths or showers? Is fall your favourite season? I definitely don't want to go below deck and open a fruity Chardonnay and talk shit about everyone else on here. Oh my God. So they make the connection. They become friends instantly, obviously. And this is, again, where whether they decide to stay in disguise, I think it's an open secret.
Yeah.
If no one else knows that they're women, they're all blind or stupid. I like the option that all the crew are women as well.
Just actually, all of them are women.
Yeah, it's like Monty Python. It's just them going, yeah, I've asked me. They're all women on the crew. Calico Jack's like, everyone's quite short in here as well.
Everyone here's got very large breasts.
Well, you say that. There are descriptions of these female pirates. In one version of events, no one else knows about their identities apart from Jack. And Jack has to be told because he's very jealous of the fact that Mary and Anne
are spending all this time together.
And like from his perspective, if the disguise is perfect, Anne is hanging out with this gorgeous sailor. Mm. Like, why are you hanging out with him? He's like, she's a girl.
Yeah, no, that's
like,
fair.
Ooh. And his first thing is three-way. They're like, no. News of these female pirates, though, soon reach land. Everyone knows that there are female pirates. And they're talking over their ruthlessness and their brutality of their attacks. A woman who was taken hostage by the crew later described Mary and Anne and said they wore men's jackets and long trousers and handkerchiefs tied around their heads. And each of them had a machete and a pistol in their hands. And they cursed and swore at the men to murder me.
Mm. Okay.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Another woman said she knew they were women from the largeness of their breasts.
That'll do it. That'll do it.
A little bit like, how big were they? Interesting. Obviously, when you hear about two female pirates on one ship, everyone starts going, they were definitely having an affair together. Oh, they're in love. And there's all sorts of sexy shenanigans going on. We're all for, you know, queer pirate tales. Yeah, I think that's a lot of what male writers wanted to spin while wanking. Well, yeah, that's it. It's like, oh, there can't be two female pirates together without them doing the film The Pirates.
Yeah. The film The Pirates?
Oh.
I'm not familiar with that film, I must admit.
It was the most expensive porn film ever made.
Right.
It was something like £1 million budget because they spent all this money, not on a ship, but on sets and some shit CGI.
They got a real boat.
I think since then there's probably been a more expensive one made, or they went, we don't need to spend this much money.
Yeah, no one's actually looking at the backdrop.
The set dressing's quite hot. I mean, you know, it's also a bit ludicrous.
Well, I know I'm doing this evening.
You won't like it. It's not your cup of tea. There's lots style. Of girls going, oh no, we're pirates together on the ship. You know what we have to do? Shag.
Yeah. No, I'll get that one I miss.
So what was more likely to have happened is Mary ended up having an affair with one of the sailors in the crew. She found herself a beau because apparently, according to legend, she's straight and she found a man and apparently carelessly showed her breasts, which were very white.
It's like a beacon in the night.
It's a beacon. Like, carelessly showed her breasts. Like, here's your dinner and I'll just pop that out. What do you think about that? Interested? Great. Okay. I will see you by the barrels. She was also, again, a fierce fighter. Apparently her lover on the ship had gotten into a quarrel with another pirate. They were supposed to duel. Mary sought out the pirate before the allotted time of their duel and killed him.
Okay.
To save her lover. I'm like, nah, I'm going to take you out. The pirates and the crew made their way on the waters, attacking ships and gaining treasures. They managed to steal an armed sloop from Nassau in 1720. It was one of their great victories, all of them together. And this is where the reports of them sort of, you know, firing guns and wielding machetes and swinging through the air come from. But they wouldn't have long together. One night in November 1720, Calico Jack was hosting a rum party aboard his ship. His ship was named the Revenge.
Yep. That's a good name for a boat.
It's a good name for a boat, yes. Yeah, Revenge!
It's a good piratey boat.
His crew, also another crew of English pirates who had docked nearby, they were all celebrating their various victories, completely plastered, drinking and cheering, and they look up and they're like, oh, it's fireworks! That's so pretty! Let's look at the fireworks! Oh, that's not fireworks! No, pirate hunter Jonathan Barnett had been commissioned to find Calico Jack and his crew, snuck up on the ship late at night and started bombarding it with fire. The crew are all plastered, so they can't fight back. Well, they don't fight back.
Yeah, there's a cannon over there. Oh, no.
Well, most of them, 90% of them go, I know what we'll do. Run away!
Run away!
They all ran into the hold and stood there shivering, leaving Anne, Mary, one other pirate, and Jack, four people on deck. Apparently, Mary was so annoyed, she started firing indiscriminately into the hold.
Oh.
Like, you are cowards.
All cowardly bastards.
Killed one, wounded several. But they stand on the deck, and they put up as good a fight as they can. I think one shot is fired across the bow to Barnett's ship. Makes no difference. They board. They capture them. They can't fight because everyone is drunk and probably cross-dressing as well. It was a big party. The trio are brought to trial in Jamaica on charges of piracy, which they all will definitely hang for if found guilty. And they probably will find guilty.
More than likely.
There's not a lot of ways you can argue your way out of it, except for one thing.
Okay.
Just say you're pregnant.
That'll do it.
Mary and Anne pleaded their bellies in an effort to get a stay of execution. And it was enough for them to win it. And there was apparently an inspection. Okay. Both ladies were deemed to be pregnant.
Okay.
Whether they were or not, we don't know. Mm-hmm. There were no babies produced. But Jack could do no such thing. He probably tried.
He could give it a go, but probably unlikely.
Yeah. Jack was hanged at Port Royal on the 18th of November, 1720, and his body was gibbeted on a tiny islet that is now known as Rackham's Cay.
Oh, nice.
For his surname.
Yeah.
Apparently, Anne herself, his lover, said she was sorry to see him there hanged, but if he had fought like a man, he need not have been hanged like a dog.
Oh.
Mary Read would die in prison in April 1721, apparently awaiting the birth of her child. She died of a fever. Some say it was due to childbirth or premature childbirth, and others just say she died in prison.
Just died in prison, infection in prison. Yeah.
Her headstone simply reads, Mary Read, pirate.
Nice.
And Anne Bonny, no one knows. There is no record of what happened to her. There's records of her conviction, of her being in prison, but there's no record of her death, no record of her release, no record of her escaping. No one knows what has happened. And some say she was freed by her family and went on to live a very long, happy life. Others say that she escaped to go back into the high seas in even more elaborate disguises to claim more booty. And others say that she's still there,
she's
haunting
still out
the
there
land.
To this day.
To this day, a true pirate queen.
Oh, like it. Very nice. Very nice.
And that is the story of Anne Bonny, Mary Read, and Calico Jack.
Very good.
The pirate threesome.
Pirate threesome.
There we go.
Oh, very nice.
One of many piratey stories.
An excellent piratey story.
Did I do it justice?
You did. Most certainly. Most certainly.
What do you think? So, again, I really did go back and forth and get stuck on Were they actually in disguise or were they not?
I'm sure they probably tried, but I just can't imagine on a ship that size with so many bloody people, hands on board, there is absolutely no privacy in those bases. So yeah, you may well have tried, but it's not going to last before it's discovered. That you're not one of us. You're something different about you here.
And yeah, how good a disguise is it, really?
Yeah, and I find it difficult to believe that they didn't know. I suspect they probably just didn't care. I think Anne Bonny obviously probably had the protection of the captain.
Yeah.
So no one's going to fuck with her.
Yeah.
Because yeah, she's the captain's
woman.
Yeah, woman. And Mary Read. Quite vicious, so no one's gonna fuck with her either, because
had been living as a man for years, so is quite practiced at it,
and was also incredibly skilled. She knew what she was doing. She was a good sailor, and she had experience on large ships. She had experience in the army. So, and I think probably in those sorts of things that experience counted for a lot. And being just that good of a sailor on those on a boat like that would be hugely respected.
Pirate queens weren't uncommon.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So
it was as long as you pulled your weight, literally, and you could fight like the rest of them. It was like, well, yeah, the more the merrier.
The more the merrier, absolutely. So I think it's one of those things that, yeah, it probably was an open secret. Everyone knew. No one talked about it. No one cared.
There was one account where someone said, and I think it was a writing of later, sort of in the intermediate years between that and now, where they said that the women wore men's clothing in public, or sort of when, you know, maybe they went ashore or they were fighting things, but other times they just wore women's clothing and just didn't really mind.
Yeah,
they just like kicked
that may
around.
Well be the case. Yeah,
they didn't maintain this high level of disguise all the time.
If they're just on the boat with everyone who knows who they are, then there's no need to be on disguise. But yes, I suppose if you're going into an unknown port or you're coming across another boat or something like that, then fine. You want to maintain that facade or something.
Also, you want to just wear trousers. You just want to wear trousers and a fancy hat and a fucking amazing coat. I think, again, at the time, people are going like, but women don't like to wear ball gowns and full-on regalia and all of this. It's like, why don't they want to be wearing pretty things? Like, because it's fucking comfy. That's why. And you get a big sword. So, yeah, I think there was a bit of that. Like, we're okay with this.
Yeah.
Let our hair flow down every now and then.
Absolutely. You can pull your weight. You're all right by us.
Well, what do you think, people? What do you think of the story of Anne Bonny, Mary Read, and Calico Jack? What do you think about female pirates? Are there more stories of women of the high seas that we can cover? A few people have messaged with more tales and more people that we will definitely look at in the future, because really the stories of pirates, there's so many out there. It's getting juicy enough resources that can fill it out. There isn't just, there was a battle once.
Oh, we might have to do something on Blackbeard.
If you have a favourite pirate story you'd like us to cover, jump on the comments, tell us your thoughts, your theories, your feelings of what we have discussed and things we can talk about in the future. Is there a little bit of pirate lore that you know about that you'd like to share? And is there a favourite pirate film or porn film that you'd suggest we watch? Maybe not the latter.
Yeah, no, not the latter.
Not the latter, unless it's really, really good. But most importantly, you must mix up the Pirate Queen.
The Pirate Queen. I went down a treat.
It was delightful.
Well, very tasty indeed.
Really,
absolutely.
Really nice. Yeah. Quite a few ingredients, but mixes a lovely drink.
Damn good.
That's a good party drink. I think that's a good punch almost. Would you call? I mean, it's not technically a punch, excuse me. But you could make a pitcher of that.
You could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With ice, pour it over.
I think it's quite pokey for a punch.
Excuse me? What?
I just realised why I said quite pokey.
That's the greatest thing you've said.
Yeah, a bit pokey for a punch.
That sounds like an old-timey phrase you'd say down the East End.
I don't know.
He's a bit pokey for a punch, mate. It's a bit... What? But what do you mean?
I mean, I think it's probably a bit strong for a punch.
No.
not a Sinead's punch.
I mean, a punch by name is quite strong. I think if you're making a punch, okay, so a punch is usually like a big bowl.
Yes.
And then it will last you the night. I think if you were making drinks for friends who were coming round and you made a pitcher of that,
maybe a jug of that,
and you'd get a drink each out of that, but you can pre-mix it and it's all nice. Yeah, I think it would work.
Yeah. But well, that's what Sinead's plan is for her next pass.
Oh, you know, try it. If it's too pokey, let us know.
The recipe will be out on Friday, whether you punch it or not. It will be out on Friday, so do let us know how you get on.
And if you are enjoying any other cocktails over the weekend, please share your pictures on social media. You can tag us on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok, if you're on there as well. And please do follow us on the social media platforms that we share on if you can. It really, really helps us to get the numbers up. And please consider leaving us a review on Apple iTunes to tell us how much you love the show. And DM us with pirate pictures.
Love some pirate pictures.
Well, actually, it's this weekend. Just share pirate pictures. Dress up as a pirate just while drinking.
Yep.
We know a couple of you will.
Absolutely. Go for it.
Thanks for listening, guys. We have been the people inside the Poisoner's Cabinet. We will see you next week. And remember, your loved ones are trying to kill you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.